How are you guys doing this morning? You guys ready for today's word?
Yes.
All right. Well, I want to start off with a question. How many of you guys like board games?
Yeah, right here.
All right. How many of you guys had played a board game that you had no clue how to even play it or where to start? All right. Well, just to give you guys a heads up, if Lorraine and Oliver, if they invite you over, most likely you're going to find yourself in that position because they love board games. And not too long ago, we did like a couple's dinner, and Lorraine had pulled out this board game. It looks just like this. And I was so confused. There was cards everywhere. There was double of everything. There was a jack with one eye. There was a jack with two eyes. And I was completely confused. But then I look over at my husband, and his eyes are all squinted, and he looks way more confused than I was. So, but one thing that I love about Lorraine and Oliver is that they take the time to explain to you the purpose and the context behind what you are about to play. Because if you don't know the rules, the game is not going to make no sense at all. Even though I do think sometimes they do leave some details out so they could win the game, but that's another story. But maybe you're not a boards game kind of person. Maybe you're more like a Netflix kind of show person. I have a few good shows that I'm enjoying right now. One of them is The Last Kingdom. It's a Viking series. But what I love what Netflix does, it gives you guys a small glimpse of what had happened in the beginning or what is yet to come. It gives you, it like basically sets the stage of where you left off in the last season and where the story is going. How many of you guys depend on that preview clip? Maybe you fell asleep the night before in the middle of an episode. Well, today is our week two of our year-long series of The Ways of Jesus. And today we are going to be looking at the ways of new beginnings. But for us to understand why Jesus gives us commands, which today we are going to be looking at three, and how to start a new life of faith, which are the three commands are repent, believe, and be born again. But before we are able to repent, believe, and be born again, we need to understand the context that had happened before. We need to understand why we need a new beginning in the first place. It's the same thing as knowing the rules of the game. It's the same thing as that quick preview clip in a Netflix show. So today, we're going to be going back and looking at context of the purpose why Jesus says that we all need a new spiritual beginning. And so to help us understand that, I want to show you guys and share with you guys a quick graphic of what we call the cycle of freedom. Now you see at the top of this graphic, it started with freedom. It was perfect freedom. We all had it. This is your first fill-in if you're taking notes. Perfect freedom, we all had it. This graphic is a simple way for us to remember the new beginning and what Jesus did for us to have that new beginning. You know, this is the backstory of the whole Bible, basically, with only a few key words. So we're going to walk through it together. And this is how our story, the beginning story of humanity, started. It began with perfect freedom. And when we look at the book of Genesis, which is the first book of the Bible, it talks about the beginning of the world and the beginning of us. Not so much of how God created it, but what he created and why he created it and what he intended it for it to be. And when you read Genesis, you will see that God created this beautiful, perfect world with humanity and creation that was just flowed together. There was no brokenness. There was no wrongdoings between people. There was no selfishness, and there was no sin. It was just beautiful. But let's check out what Genesis 1:31 says. Genesis 1:31, it's up on the screen or in your notes. It says, God looked over everything that he had made. It was so good, so very good. God had created this perfect world. He created this perfect world for Adam and Eve, which was a world of grace. a world where grace just ruled and reigned over every single thing. Now that's the definition of grace. Grace is receiving something that we don't even earn. It's receiving something that we might not even deserve. I'm sure some of you guys have experienced his love in that way, right? Well, they lived in this perfect world that everything was provided for them, and they didn't have to do anything. It was just all perfect. They didn't have to work for it. They didn't even have to prove that they were good enough. There was no sickness. There was no death, no fighting. Everything and everyone was in a right relationship with him. They lived in this perfect freedom, a world full of grace. Now, in a world full of grace, there was only one rule. And some of you guys know this one rule, because in a family of grace, you know, in a relationship of grace, there's no really necessary of much rules, but there was one rule. And the rule was not to eat from the tree of good and evil, or you will die. But as long as you don't eat from that tree, you will live in this wonderful world forever. Now, you guys all know how the story went. Adam and Eve didn't live in that world of grace very long. You know, they rebelled and they ate from the tree. Now, this is what takes us to our next step of the cycle. As you continue to read, you will see and read about the fall. It's the second part of our cycle. It's your next fill-in. We lost it. Remember, we had perfect freedom, and then we lost it. We know from Genesis 3 that Adam and Eve, once they ate that apple from that tree, the perfectness ran out the door and sin and death came rushing in the front. Our world was no longer perfect. It was no longer beautiful. It was broken. And as sons and daughters of Adam and Eve and the ancestors, we have also paid the price of the sin. In fact, let's look at Romans 5:12. It's on the screen or on your outline. It says, when Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Now sin, real quick, it means, oh, there's a word in the Bible where sin is basically means that it's anything less of God's best. Sin is when we do something outside of God's plan. Sin is basically out of God's, what he meant for us. That's what sin was. Sin was not supposed to be in this world, but they went out of God's plan and they sinned. As we continue to read Romans 5:12, it says, Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone, for everyone had sinned. You might be sitting here and you might be saying, well, that's not fair. Why do I have to pay the sins for Adam and Eve? I wasn't even there. But if we just take a second, do you think that we could have done any better? Have you guys ever been able to go a day, a week, a month without having a sin? Making selfish choices or having those sinful thoughts? It's a daily battle. I know I haven't. When they fell, we fell. In the world and life that we have been poisoned with sin, the rebellious, the selfishness, we see the evil effect of it daily. And let's be honest, we don't have to be Jesus followers to see the brokenness of the world. Yes, there's beautiful parts of the world, and we are so grateful for those parts because it gives us that hope. But it doesn't take us much to realize that, hey, that's not right. In these days, we don't even have to be out in the world to see the brokenness. It comes to our screens as we swipe. It comes to the screens of our kids as they swipe. But there's a good news. Throughout the fall, God never left us. The whole entire Bible is a story of God working a plan throughout history to fix the fall. And that brings us to our third part of the cycle. Remember, we had it, we lost it, but through faith is how we get it back. Through faith is how we get it back. Now, I remember this was probably a few years into our years of Tijuana when we lived here. We lived in this apartment that when you walk in, it was the kitchen and the living room, and then you had to go downstairs, and you had the rooms, the bathrooms, which is a little different from what you see in the States, but it was where we lived. And me and the girls at that time, we spent most of our time downstairs when my husband was at work. And there was a day, they were all outside on the outside patio, and from my room, I could see them directly from the patio. And I must have got caught up in one of my drama reality shows, because I looked up again, and I saw that my son wasn't there. So I got up, the girls were playing with their knickknacks, Barbies, and I said, "Hey, where's your brother?" They just shrugged their shoulders. I was like, "Well, gee, thanks. Thanks for that, those are a lot of help." So we started calling his name. And when we went outside to this open patio that was available for all the units, there's a off to the side, there's a stairway that leads back up to the main street. And that little gate was open. My heart started pumping. And I know I'm not the only parent that has lost a kid before, so I'm not gonna point you guys out, I'll take it today. But you guys know how my heart felt. My stomach was like, oh my God, Juan was at work, I don't wanna call him, because Jay was like his pride and joy. I don't even remember if I called him, or if the cameras go out of lens, it's because he's barely finding out right now. But we were calling him. We were running around, and as I made my way back up to the living room, I saw two little feet, just like this. There's a picture of him, how I felt him. You can't really see it. iPhone 14s were not available back then. It's a little dark. But as you could see, his little feet were behind the curtains. He pulled up a little chair, and he was watching the cars go by. This is the same window that he watched his dad go off to work. And I knew he heard us calling him. He was just too busy and distracted of seeing what the world was going on. So I picked him up. I took him downstairs. It was like this little chubby little kid. Picked him up, and it was about 6 minutes, and those 6 minutes felt like 6 hours. And you're probably wondering, why are you telling me this story, right? Because any good father, any good parent, will go out looking for their kids. They will go out searching for their child. And ever since the fall, that's what God was doing for us. When Adam and Eve, when they sinned and our world was fractured, our relationship was fractured with him, he didn't just stay away and let us do the destruction. He was already working on a plan to restore us back to him. He went out looking for them. He went out looking in the garden, calling them by name. And that's the good news of what the gospel tells us. God has been working a plan with us, for us, ever since the fall. He has been calling us out by our names. He has been pursuing us daily. He has been working out a plan to restore our relationship with him. And that plan to restore us back to relationship with him, it was when Christ died on the cross for us. Let's look at what Romans 5:18 says. It says, yes, Adam's one sin brought condemnation to everyone. Now that everyone means that we are all linked together in Adam's legacy. But Christ's one act of righteousness brings the right relationship with God and a new life. For who? For everyone. You see, our legacy could change. We no longer have to have sin or separation of God or death be a part of our story anymore. Through Jesus, our legacy can change. It's the inheritance of grace that is freely given to us can change it, but that's only if we want to receive it. Jesus came back and he brought grace back with him. And like I mentioned before, there's moments in our life that we may have experienced that grace from him. And we're like, wow, I don't even deserve it. I didn't even earn it. And you're right. None of us have. But that's what grace is. And it just takes simply faith to receive it. So how do we live a life of faith or begin this journey of faith? Jesus mentions and he shares with the crowd on the beginning messages of his ministry, he shares some commands. And this is when he started his ministry, and it's just a few words. So we're going to look at what it takes for us to live in new beginnings with Christ. There's two commands, and the first one is in Mark chapter 1, verses 14 through 15. It says, Jesus went to Galilee, proclaiming the good news. And this is what he said. These are his commandments. Verse 15, the time has come, he said. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe in the good news. Repent and believe in the good news. That's the way of Jesus. That's what he's telling us. This is the commandment that he is sharing with us. Jesus is telling us that the only way for us to enter the kingdom of God, it requires two actions. Now, here's another way for you guys to understand it. This is your next fill-in. It says, faith is the new beginning. It begins with repent and believe. Now, repent and believe, they're not two different things. They're actually, they go together. It's a swift movement. It's a shift in us. They go together like, you know, peanut butter and jelly. With my pregnancy, I tease the kids, peanut butter and pickles, and they're like, ew. No. Bacon and eggs, exactly. Cookies and milk. Yeah, you guys know what's up. So you see, Jesus gave this message to us for us to repent and believe in the good news. Now, repentance means that we turn away. That we turn away from what is holding us back. Instead of living in my ways, or like how Monique mentioned last week, the ways of the world, we want to turn away from those. Now, that's the first step. And when we turn away, we turn to believe. It's that swift movement of moving to believing. Now, belief is described as what we do when we turn to the good news. It's when we trust and believe that God could keep us from shifting back. It's the good news of the gospel, the story of Jesus. He's telling us to turn away of the things that are holding us captive, from the lust, from the drugs, the sex out of marriage, the cheating, to turn away from your ways. It's turn away from all the things that you don't want your kids or your grandkids to battle with in the future. And turning towards Jesus. That's the beginning. That is the only way for us to get into the kingdom of God. Now, Jesus is not saying by believing that you need to know everything. You need to follow the rules. You need to do this, this, and this. No, he's just simply saying, believe a little in your heart to keep you going. Just a little to know enough. Know me, believe in me, trust in me. The invitation to repent, believe is all about changing directions. No, this didn't work for me. Turning to God. Not knowing what is yet to come, I'm going to keep moving in that direction. Now, when he came and gave them the two commandments, let's go back, because in the Old Testament, the first generation Jewish, they were waiting for a Messiah that was prophesied in the Old Testament. And at this time, they were living under an evil empire, the Roman Empire. So they thought that they were going to receive a physical kingdom. But when Jesus came proclaiming like, hey, the kingdom is near and be ready. They thought they were going to receive a physical kingdom. But that's not what Jesus was trying to establish. He wasn't trying to establish a physical kingdom. He was trying to establish a spiritual kingdom. He was trying to establish a spiritual kingdom that could break the chains. A spiritual kingdom that we could live again. That we could move from the fall to now the faith. Which brings us to the next. That brings us back to freedom. This is what Jesus came to do. Not just for me, not just for Fito, for all of us. Now in church, we always say that Jesus is just a half turn away. You guys are obviously here for a reason. And when we repent, we turn away from our sin. When we believe, we start trusting in Jesus. And at that moment, when we come true to ourselves and we're like, okay, this is it, something beautiful happens in us. Jesus describes it this way in John chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom unless they are born of water of the Spirit and of the Spirit." Verse 6, "Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised by me saying this. You must be born again." Now in this verse, this is a response to when he was talking to Nicodemus and he had asked, hey, what do I have to do to get into the kingdom? And Jesus simply says, you got to be born again. He was talking about what needs to happen for us to get into the kingdom. It's moving away from being outside of God's family to now being sons and daughters of Christ. It's from moving from living in the dark to now living into the light. And this all happens when we start to believe. This is your next fill-in. The result of believing and in faith, the result of faith is when we are born again. This is how we get our freedom back. It's through faith. When we are spiritually reborn, when we repent, when we believe in Jesus, this is something only God could do for us. We can't do it on our own. Maybe some of us have tried to do things on our own. And maybe today is a perfect day for you to experience that beautifulness behind it. Because you're only a half turn away. And it starts by you realizing that my ways are not fixing me. It starts with you realizing that what the world has to offer me is not solving my problems of sin. It starts with letting go of yourself and hanging on to Jesus. And when we do that, that's how faith begins. And before I get to my last point, I want to do something right now. Like I said, you guys are here for a reason. And some of you are just a half turn away. Maybe you guys made that turn before and you feel that you've shifted away. So if you are here today and you are ready to repent and start believing, I want to take a moment right now for us to bow our heads. I want today, January 22nd of 2023, to be the day that you say, I fully surrender and I'm turning to God. And as you sit there with your head bowed down, I want you guys to look and envision all the chains that are holding you down right now. And with that believing in your heart stirring up, you know that God is going to break those chains. So if you are here today, as you bow your head, please just raise your hand. Maybe this is a recommitment, or you are ready for God to take control. Just raise your hand. I see you guys. And I know in the Bible it says to make your faith public. Let me be your public. God, I just thank you. I thank you for giving the courage to the ones that are raising their hands, Lord, as they surrender every chain that is holding them down. Today, I know and I believe that you are breaking those chains, Lord, so they could fully turn to you, Jesus. I thank you. I thank you, and I pray that your grace just continues to lead them in your ways, Lord. In your name we pray. Real quick, I just want to thank you guys. If we could all just give everybody a round of applause for having that courage to say yes. He's the only one. Because it starts with faith. It starts by us walking by. Faith is what it is. It's walking. Have you guys ever walked to the bathroom at night? And maybe back then you didn't have a flashlight on your phone. And it's depending on that little proximity. I'm trusting that little circle of what light you have to envision. That's what God does to us. He gives us a little glimpse, but we trust and we believe that taking that next step, that God is going to continue to guide us and get us to where we are, whether it's having those broken hearts or our dreams smashed. This is the plan that God had us on. And I'm going to trust and I'm going to believe that God is here for me, that his favor is for me, that he has my back, and that with him, it's possible to get through anything. When we put our faith into Jesus, it brings us to a complete cycle. It brings us to our next cycle, which is fruits. Because with the faith that we have in Jesus, we could produce good fruits. And what I mean by having fruits, it means that whatever happens and what we experience as we take those steps, someone else is going to experience the goodness of God. We want the results and the fruits of our lives to be shared, because I know each one of us here now, or the people online, you guys have somebody that needs to experience your love, your faithfulness, so they could experience what God has done through you and give them hope. That is our complete cycle of the cycle of freedom. The freedom, the fall, the faith, and the good fruits that we produce. We had it. We lost it. But only through faith is how we are going to get it back. Now, I love this series of the year that we are doing, and I want to encourage you guys to take that time to commit to the five things that we want to journey on with you guys throughout the year, to make our strength of our spiritual journeys stronger. We want to grow with you guys. So if you guys visit the website, thewaysofjesus.com, we are going to be asking you guys to commit to five different things. That is worship weekly. That means come on Sundays. Join us. Grow daily, pray, read devotionals, connect seasonally. We got growth groups starting up soon. Join one. We got some available on Thursdays for the teens. Hey, if you want to hang out with the teens, let me tell you, teaching the kids was the best thing that I could have ever done. because I was learning with them. And serve regularly. Join a team. And last but not least, is share with a friend. Allow them to experience what you are experiencing. Invite them. Now we're about to close with our last song. And I love this song because this song talks about no longer being a slave. And for some of you, you guys just allowed God to break the chains that have been holding you back. For some of you, you guys are making that turn again and let go of the shame of, I've done this before. But that's what grace is. For some of you, you guys have allowed God to break the chains that you were so desperately holding on to because you didn't know what life was without them. Today, God is calling you guys by name. He's calling you to freedom. Let him fulfill the purpose that he had for you and through you. You don't have to wait. You don't have to wait when you're on your knees asking for God to please, Lord, help me. You don't have to wait for that night when you were thinking, hey, you know what? It's probably a lot easier for me to be with God than fight through this. I know, I was there. And that night was the night that I said, you know, I'm fully turning to God because I have babies that need me. This is a new start. I know it and I feel it. And I know that he is here and he's going to do miracles in your guys' life. If you just trust and have that faith so we could all live in freedom. Oh, Lord, I thank you for your grace. I thank you for just being here present, Lord. I thank you for just everything that you have done. I thank you for your plan and your purpose of everything that you have been working out since day one when we lost it all. Lord, today we are no longer slaves of what was holding us down. Lord, I pray today that everyone that said, Lord, I'm turning to you today, that they leave these doors feeling your presence more than they did when they walked in. And that they experience the way of Jesus in a way that they never have experienced it, Lord. Lord, I pray that you just shadow the desires of the world that we are so struggling to fight with daily. Shadow them, take them away. Because today we are no longer slaves to those. We love you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.